have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to find Colossians chapter 4. Yes, I'm going to stand down here with you this morning. Y'all were having too much fun, so I didn't want to go up there and be all by myself. Colossians chapter 4 this morning. We're going to talk about prayer. The title of today's message is Devote to Prayer. We're doing a series out of the book of Colossians, going verse by verse. We're calling it Exalted because the book of Colossians reminds us, just as we sang in our first song this morning, that in fact, Jesus Christ is exalted. Whether you and I ever take hold of that as truth in our own lives is up to us. It doesn't change the fact that Jesus Christ is already exalted. I want to talk to you about one of my favorite subjects this morning, the subject of prayer. Prayer is in the news again. Some of you saw this story a couple of weeks ago in Tennessee. There was a high school, a group of schools, Putnam County schools, that told their some of their teachers, actually some of their coaches and all of their staff, that they were not allowed to lead kids in prayer because that was proselytizing. And so if students wanted to have prayer, that was had to be initiated by them, but not initiated by the staff. And their The biggest challenge they had was that after football games, one of the schools would gather together and they would pray, and the coach led that. So he was told he wasn't allowed to do that anymore. So what happened was, on Friday night at the end of the football game, one of the students at Upperman High School Fellowship in Tennessee got the other team, Stone Memorial High School, who had heard the same news. And so they all gathered at the middle of the field. And if you've seen the picture, you see all these kids, a bunch of football players. But then you also notice there's a bunch of other students. Parents came down out of the stands. They had more people there because they said the coach can't lead prayer than they would have ever had if they just kept their mouths shut. So it was very cool that they did that. And hopefully they're still doing that and filling the field on Friday nights. Those are the kind of things that we hear about this time of year when football teams are praying, whether or not somebody can gather and pray, or whether you can have a prayer before the football game. In this case, it was one letter to the school district that initiated all of that. So we also hear about this at graduation time. You hear, are a Christian student allowed to use the name of Jesus or God, or use a scripture verse, or pray in Jesus' name for sure? And so you hear about all these kind of things. So good for them. They gathered and the students led it, and they had way more people than they would have normally had. And so we hear about some of these things on a national scale or worldwide scale or a local scale, but I want you this morning to join me in thinking about prayer for you. I'm not worried about the country this morning. I'm not worried about the world as far as prayer. I'm worried about you and me and our attitude towards prayer. So that's what I'm going to ask you to focus on with me this morning. So we're going to do that in Colossians chapter 4. We're just taking three verses. That's how important this subject is this morning, and we're going to spend our time just looking at these three verses. So Colossians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 2, 3, and 4. So in honor of God and His Word, I want to invite you to stand with me as I read those to you, thinking about your individual prayer life. Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2, God's Word says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak." Father, we thank you for these very simple but powerful words this morning. And Father, we are grateful that some students at a school district in Tennessee gathered when they were told the coach couldn't do it anymore. They did it themselves. Father, thank you for that coach's example, and thank you that they followed through and they prayed. And it wasn't just one team, it was two teams coming together. And it wasn't just the players, it was also parents and other students that gathered on that field, so many that they almost filled that field. And we thank you for that. Father, we pray this morning that you would challenge each of our hearts personally in prayer. Don't let us worry about what somebody else is doing or not doing. Let us focus on ourselves and be challenged by the truth of your word in our own hearts today, individually. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So help me here. What is prayer? Somebody give me an answer. What is prayer? Talking to God? What else? Worship? Good. What else? Somebody else. What is prayer? Good. Listening. Prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is a conversation with God. The Bible's very clear about that. I struggle with that, to be honest with you. I love telling God what he needs to do for me. I have no problem telling him that. I have no problem complaining to him. I'll even thank him for some stuff along the way. But stopping and listening to him, that's harder to do. But that's what a good conversation is. You and I like good conversation. We like to be able to have a conversation with somebody who will listen to us, but also talk with us. So we get to talk, but they also get to talk. They actively listen, and we actively listen. God says that prayer is the exact same thing. So I want you to look with me just at verse 2 for a minute. Look at verse 2 again. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. That word devote literally means you're going to continue doing it. So remember, we've said all along that this book, the book of Colossians, is written to who? Who's the book written to? Believers. It's not written to non-believers. It's written to believers. So the assumption here is, by Paul who writes this, that the believers are already praying. Not that he has to teach them how to pray. He's going to do that. But they should already be praying because they're believers. But this word literally means to continue that effort, but do it intently, even through difficulty or challenges. Don't stop. You and I, some of us yesterday, devoted ourselves to things with great effort, even through difficulty. Some of you watched football yesterday. Some of you, your teams didn't do very well. But you devoted yourself to it. You knew what time the game started. You know the coach for your team. You know a bunch of the players. You know where some of the players are from. You even know the names of their parents in some cases because you've studied it that well. You also knew your opponent, whoever that was, and their coach and their mascot and what the name of their band is and where they're located, and you know all kinds of stuff. Why? Because you devoted yourself to know those things. He says, devote yourselves to football. No. Devote yourselves to prayer. The intention is that if you're a believer, you're already doing it. The word devote here is a verb. It means it's doing something. It's in the present tense, not past tense. You did it once and you're done. It's active. It's happening now. It's also imperative, which can be a command. It's also plural. It means it's continuing on. It's not a one-time thing. Well, I prayed when I got saved. I'm done. Nope. Prayer is a conversation with the creator of the universe. In my version of the Bible, the New American Standard, the word prayer just in the New Testament is used 96 times. That's how important it should be to the Christian life. Jesus talked about prayer. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? Very famous sermon that he gave. He gathered his disciples, and a multitude gathered there as well on the side of this hill. One of the things he talked about, and Matthew 6 records this, was prayer. He mentioned two things right off. Number one is hypocrites. Hypocrites, he said, are those who stand in the street corner and they pray in order to be seen by men. That's their purpose. The second kind of people that he talked about in Matthew 6 was those who are Gentiles. He said they just repeat rotely the same things over and over and over and over and over and over again. He doesn't say don't pray. And nowhere does he say don't pray out loud. But he says don't pray to be heard. That's the reason that you're praying. Don't just use the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, because you don't want anybody to do that in a conversation with you. You want them to listen to you. You want to have a conversation back and forth. And if they just say the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, I think that's called nagging. So be careful. But then he says to his disciples, pray then in this way. And he gives them what we call the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. That's how he teaches them to pray. There's nothing magic about the words of the Lord's Prayer. It's a model prayer. Pray in this way. And if you dig into that, you'll see that he gives us a way to pray. And there are different parts of that prayer that you can use. It's okay to say the Lord's Prayer, but if that's all you ever say, he probably would like to hear a little bit more from you, just like you like to have conversation with others. The Bible talks a lot about prayer. I'm going to give you a bunch of verses this morning. You're not going to be able to turn this fast. They'll be on the screen. Some of them will, some of them won't. If you have your bulletin, on the back is a notes section. If you want to jot these down so you can go back and look at them later, you may just listen as we go. Whatever works for you, I'm good with. Matthew 14, verse 23, Jesus prayed. Listen to what happened. Matthew 14, verse 23. And after he had sent the multitudes, Jesus, away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there, what? What was he there? He was there alone. Okay, he went off by himself to pray. In Matthew's account, this takes place just after Jesus fed the 5,000. Matthew records that he sends the multitude home, bellies full, after teaching them, he sent them away. He also put the disciples in a boat and said, I'll meet you on the other side. Then he went off to the mountain to pray by himself. What was his purpose for going to the mountain? To pray. What happens next in Matthew's account? Jesus does something amazing. He walks on water. My personal opinion is he was just going to simply walk by the guys because they weren't going to be paying attention. They're teenagers. They're not paying attention. But Peter happens to notice that Jesus is walking by. And remember, Peter, if he's doing that, I want to. Gets out of the boat, realizes he's on water and starts to sink. Jesus got to save him and get him back in the boat. All this stuff happens. I really think just Jesus was going to walk on over to the other side and he was going to be there. And the disciples are going to go, how'd you get here? Because going around or going straight across, but Jesus prayed. It was that important. The Bible talks to us a lot about prayer. Luke 5, verse 16. Look at what we're told about what Jesus did. Luke 5, verse 16. But he himself, Jesus, would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. You have a place where you can get alone and pray? Where you can't be bothered? The wilderness there, some of you have been there with us, it's desolate. Nobody wants to hang out in the wilderness. But Jesus went there to pray. Acts chapter 4, verse 31, amazing story. Jesus, as we said, all throughout the Gospels, we're told Jesus would pray. He would slip off by himself, or he would just pray. He prayed all the time. He prayed. But this is a story of his disciples after he's gone in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John were minding their own business, and they decided to heal somebody because God told them to, and so they healed somebody. Well, the authorities didn't like that. So the authorities bring him in. They question him. The guy who's been healed's right here. You can't really argue with it. We've all seen him. Now he's healed. What do we do with that? Okay, you guys, don't do this anymore and be quiet and go home. So the guys left. Peter and John leave the authorities. It says when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And so they had a gathering. Basically had a church gathering, a prayer meeting. And then it says, if you jump down to Acts 4, verse 31, they decided to pray, to have a conversation with God. Listen what happens. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Prayer is powerful. It's real. It's not a mistake. It's part of God's plan. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, if you've heard any verses on prayer, you've probably heard this. And if you need a verse to memorize because your boss told you to memorize a verse or your teacher did, here you go. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Easy. Some of your versions just say pray always. That's even easier. But the idea is that we should pray all the time, not just when we think we need him. Or not just in the morning, Lord, please help me get out of bed. Or at the end of the day, Lord, thank you for taking me through the day. Pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. It's a conversation. The person you love the most, you have a conversation with them. Sometimes you text them. Sometimes you call them. Sometimes you leave them notes. Sometimes you do all the above all day long. Other people can't do that. That's not the way they have a conversation. They wait until they see the person and they sit down and they have an intense conversation or a quality, longer-term conversation. If you look further in 1 Thessalonians 5, past verse 17 to verse 25, Paul told the church in Thessalonica, he said, hey, brothers, believers, pray for us. So again, we're told to pray. Listen to these powerful verses. Love these. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him do what? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain in the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Elijah was a person like you and me, the Bible says. And he prayed, and it stopped raining, because God had a conversation going on with him. The effective prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much. You can't be made righteous except through the blood of Jesus. Okay, I could keep going. I'll stop there. All right, the last part of verse 2 in Colossians 4 says, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Keeping alert means that you're continuously ready, but you want to learn. You want to listen. You want to be attentive. You want to grab a hold of what is being said. Again, prayer is a conversation, not you just telling God what he needs to do. But do it, verse 2 says, with an attitude of thanksgiving. That means you express gratitude for the blessings and the benefits. Sometimes I struggle with that. Again, I can tell God all that I need him to do. But stopping and thanking him for what he has done, most believers spend way more time telling God what he needs to do than we do thanking him for what he has already done. I don't know why that is, but we kind of do the same thing with people around us too, don't we? We fuss and complain and share our opinions to be heard instead of thanking God for what he's doing. Listen to these verses. Matthew 26, verse 41. Jesus said, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Anybody remember where that was? What was the occasion? The Garden of Gethsemane, the night that Jesus was going to be betrayed, and he told the young men with him, his disciples, pray and keep alert so you don't fall into temptation. He didn't tell them, hey, y'all keep watch with a club, because there's people coming to arrest me. No, he told them to pray. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Ephesians 6 is the chapter that tells us, starting in verse 10, about putting on the full armor of God. Listen to verse 18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. My opinion is, the prayer is a part of the armor of God. Breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, all that, helmet of salvation. Right after that, verse 17, he talks about the word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times. So when I put that on, when I pray, Lord, help me put on the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, I go through the whole thing, and I say, Father, cover me with an impenetrable prayer covering of the prayers I pray for myself and the prayers that others pray for me, because I believe it's part of the armor. It's a conversation with God. Philippians 4, verse 6. Popular verse, but we miss this part of it. Be anxious for nothing. Sometimes I struggle with that. Be anxious for not a thing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. With thanksgiving. Prayer is conversation. Supplication is asking Him for something. Supplicating. You're asking Him. You're depending on Him for something. But He says, don't be anxious about it. Instead, talk to Him about everything. Have a conversation with Him. But do it in an attitude of thanksgiving and let your requests be made known to Him. Back to Colossians chapter 4. Point is, pray. Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. We continue and it says, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Paul asks the believers in Colossae to pray for him and the group that is with him that is helping spread the gospel to the known world. He literally says, pray that God would open a door for the word. That just means open up an opportunity. He's asking them to pray that an opportunity would be made available. Some of us do the same, but then the door opens and we go, whoa, wait a minute, God. I didn't mean for you to open it for me. I meant you to open it to somebody else. Some of us will pray for a coworker or a friend that doesn't know Jesus yet, a neighbor, whatever. God, please help them come know Jesus. Father, please help them with this situation. God, whatever the situation is, and God opens the door and He says, you walk through the door. Whoa, 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 wait a minute, God. So if you're praying for God to open a door, then be ready to walk through the door. And here's what's cool. God, who opens the door, the creator of the universe, will give you what you need in that situation as you walk through the door. If He can take care of putting the stars and the planets and all that stuff where it's supposed to be and make it run, He can handle you having a conversation with your friend or your neighbor. Just open your mouth and let Him start talking, and He will. Or just ask a question. What can I do to help you? Let them start having a conversation with you. Don't go in with all the answers. You don't even know what the question is yet. If God gives you the opportunity that you've prayed for, walk through the door. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it also did with you. Paul to the church in Thessalonica said the same thing to them. He's asking for people to pray that the word of God would be spread. Back in Colossians 4, verse 3, he says the reason he's asking that the door be opened is so that he can speak the mystery of the gospel. Not so he can go raise a bunch of support, not so he can go do what he wants to do, fulfill the desires of his flesh in any way. No, he wants the doors to be open to speak out the mystery of Christ. And he says, that's the reason that I'm in prison. I'm locked up because I've been speaking the word of Christ. But that while he's there, again, he's not sitting in a corner crying. He is writing letters and spending time with people who somehow come in and out to be there. Verse 4 of Colossians 4, Paul says, we want it to be made clear. As we go out and speak it, Lord, make it clear. One of my prayers is, Lord, fill me with the words that you want me to say when I stand in front of a group of people and teach your word. Last scripture, Ephesians chapter 6. We just read Ephesians 6, verse 18. Part of the armor, I say, is prayer. The very next verse says this, verse 19 and verse 20 of Ephesians 6. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Prayer is three things. A conversation with God. Again, it's not you telling God what to do. It's listening. For some of us, we have to learn to listen. Number two, it's prayer is personal. It's you having a conversation. Your pastor doesn't have to pray for you. I don't have some special connection to God that you don't have. It's a conversation with God. Number three, prayer is results. When you pray to the God of the universe, he hears you. Now, he may not answer it the way you think he's going to or in the time frame, but he's the God of the universe, and he says pray. He's given us direct access to his throne room because of the blood of Jesus. You don't need an appointment. The other day, I called a doctor to get an appointment. We'll see you in October. Wait a minute, it's August. Why do I have to wait that long? And then I got a whole list of things that I got to do to check off before I can even get in the door. You don't have to do that with God. Because you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you need to take care of that. You need to ask him for forgiveness of your sins and ask him to come and be Lord of your life. But if you do know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have direct access anytime, day or night, and he hears you. And he'll speak back to you if you'll just listen. When I was younger, I told you a couple weeks ago that I developed the habit of spending time with the Lord on a daily basis. When I was a sophomore in high school, I just felt burdened that I needed to read through the Bible, and that started my habit, my devotional time of spending time with the Lord every day. But one of the things I didn't really have as a part of that was praying. That was not something that I just did, and I didn't follow through. There were times when I did. When I was in college, I'd make a list. If somebody said, hey, will you pray for such and such? If I remembered, I'd put it on a list. I'd keep it in my Bible, and I would hopefully remember to pull it out. I wasn't as faithful with that prayer time as I was with reading my Bible. It took a while. So years ago, I learned that I needed to make a prayer list for me. It's not for anybody else. It's for me. It has my notes, my scribblings. Most people wouldn't even understand it. But I take a page a day, and I write on the top, like Monday. And then I have a list of things and people that I pray for. So on Mondays, I pray for Kisa as my wife, and I have a list of things that I pray for so I don't forget. And I pray for Justin and Kaylee, our oldest son and his wife, and I have a list of things so I won't forget. And I pray for our younger son, Colin, and I have a list of things on that page so I don't forget. And I pray those things for them. On Tuesday, I pray for our staff and our board members. I pray for their families. On Wednesday, I have a list of our missionaries, our covenant partners, and other people that I know in ministry of all different kinds, and I got notes on the side of the page. The point is that I had to make a list for me, and then I have to put it beside my Bible, and right after I read my Bible, then I open it up to the page that matches the day of the week, and that's the way it works for me. It's become part of my routine now, not as a rote, doing like the Gentiles, like Jesus criticized. I'm talking about it reminds me, here are the things that I need to pray for. And if people say, hey, pray for this, pray for that, then I make a separate list. And I try twice a year to go through, in July and then usually between Christmas and New Year, somewhere in there, I take some time alone and I just, maybe I'm not praying for this person anymore for whatever reason. Or maybe I need to add some people in there because we added staff or something changed or we added a covenant partner, whatever. And so I make those adjustments that I don't always make the other times of the year. But that's what works for me. It took me a long time to get to that point, but that's what works. The point is, Paul tells us, tells believers in Colossae, and he tells us, devote yourselves to prayer. Already do it, but get better at it. Be committed to it, because it's conversation with the God of the universe. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for prayer. It is a powerful tool that some of us take for granted, and so help us not do that. Father, thank you that you've given us instant communication with you. The God who put the planets in place and in the orbit that they're in, who created each one of us and knows every single cell and to the smallest level that scientists haven't even discovered yet. To the God who cares about every detail of our life, to the God who gave us his son, Jesus, who now sits at the right hand, at his right hand, talking about us to him all day long. Father, help us to learn to have communication, a conversation with you all day, every day, because of who you are, not because of what we need, not because of what we need to fuss about or complain about, but Father, because of who you are and what you've already done for us through your son, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.